Welcome back to the deep dive. Today, we're diving headfirst into a topic that really it impacts every single one of us, whether we think about it much or not. We're talking about building good habits, strong ones, and maybe finally getting rid of those stubborn bad ones. It's often baffling, right? Sometimes frustrating, but hopefully ultimately rewarding. And for this deep dive, we've got some great material. It's a really insightful review of James Clear's huge book, Atomic Habits. You've probably heard of it. It's not just another self-help book. This thing's a global phenomenon. It's genuinely shifted how millions think about change. So our mission today is pretty straightforward. Why this book? Why has it sold millions, stayed on bestseller lists for years? What makes its message resonate so much? We want to pull out those key insights, those golden nuggets from the review directly for you and give you stuff you can actually use.
Yeah, and it's compelling because, let's face it, changing our behavior is hard. It's universal. We all want to improve, grow. But we get stuck, right? Hit those walls, fall back into old patterns. And this book, as the review really highlights, it tackles that struggle head on. But the clever part is how it shifts our focus. It moves us away from thinking about huge, grand gestures.
Yeah, the massive overhauls that never stick.
Exactly. Towards what Clear calls these tiny, consistent improvements. It's like re-engineering how we even approach change itself.
And that's the hook, isn't it? That core idea, it almost sounds too simple, getting just 1% better every single day. The idea that this can compound into, you know, massive success over time, it sounds almost easy.
Well, maybe deceptively so.
Right. But the review insists its power is real. It's rooted in how we actually work as humans. Okay, so let's really dig into this. This idea, the big impact of small, consistent actions, it feels counterintuitive sometimes. We want that big bang, that dramatic transformation, wake up different.
We do. We're kind of wired for that immediate result.
But the review keeps pointing back to this power of compounding. For someone listening who's skeptical, maybe they've tried the big gestures and failed. What's the real secret here, beyond just the math?
Okay, so the compounding thing, it's not just numbers on a page. It's deeply psychological. It taps into our need for progress, for seeing results, even tiny ones. Think of it like building a skill, not just earning interest. Each tiny bit of practice, maybe it seems insignificant on its own.
Like doing one push-up or reading one page.
Exactly. It strengthens those neural pathways, build a tiny bit of muscle memory, and crucially, it gives you a small win, a verifiable success. These small daily deposits, they don't just add up. They build on each other. They create a foundation. Mm-hmm. And psychologically, each little success boosts your belief that you can change. It creates this upward spiral confidence capability.
So it feeds itself.
Precisely. Yeah. It's subtle, but relentless. And it achieves results far beyond what one huge, unsustainable effort could, because it builds consistency and belief.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. It's the synergy, not just the sum. So the compounding effect is clear, intellectually. But how do we actually start? Because that's the stumbling block for so many, right? We know what we want, but the how, it feels fuzzy. Does the review give us a practical playbook, a framework?
It absolutely does. And this is where the book, according to the review, really delivers. It lays out this very actionable framework, like a blueprint for habits. It's called the Four Laws of Behavior Change. And these aren't just theories. They're designed as a practical guide.
Okay, the four laws. Let's break them down.
Right. Law number one is make it obvious.
Obvious. How so?
It's about consciously designing your environment, making the good choice, the habit you want to build, the most visible, the most effortless thing to see and do. So if you want to drink more water, don't just think about it. Put a water bottle right there on your desk, front and center.
Can't miss it.
Exactly. Want to practice guitar? Don't hide it in the closet. Leave it out, in sight, easy to grab. It basically uses our own laziness, our tendency to follow the path of least resistance.
So you're making the good habit the easiest, most obvious path. Almost tricking your future self.
It reduces the need for conscious thought, for that decision-making energy, which we only have so much of. Okay, so once it's obvious, the next law is make it attractive.
Attractive. Okay, so how do you make flossing attractive?
Huh. Well, maybe not flossing itself, but you link it. Our brains love rewards, pleasure. So this law is about pairing a habit you want to do, but maybe resist, with something you genuinely like. It's something called temptation bundling.
Temptation bundling. I like that. Give me an example.
Okay, say you want to exercise more, but you love listening to a specific podcast. Rule.
Mm-hmm.
You only get to listen to that podcast while you're exercising.
Ah, okay. Linking the want to with the get to.
Exactly. Or maybe you need to tackle some boring admin work. You pair it with your favorite fancy coffee, something you look forward to. It makes the less desirable task more appealing.
Makes sense. Linking those pleasures. Does the timing matter? Like, does the reward need to be instant?
The closer the pairing, the better. That immediate link is stronger for the brain. Okay, so it's obvious, it's attractive, but maybe you still don't start.
Yeah, the starting is often the hardest part.
Which brings us to law number three. Make it easy. This is huge. It's about starting incredibly small, reducing friction, getting rid of excuses. If a new habit feels like this monumental task, your brain just slams on the brakes.
Yeah, we set the bar way too high, don't we? That feeling of dread before you even begin.
Totally. So make it easy means minimizing the effort needed just to initiate the habit. Lower that barrier to entry.
Just get the ball rolling, even if it's just an inch.
Precisely. Which flows right into the fourth law, which is critical for making it stick long term. Make it satisfying.
Satisfying. The payoff.
Yes, you need to reward yourself, even in a tiny way, immediately after doing the habit. Our brains are wired to repeat things that feel good. When doing the habit leads to a satisfying feeling, it reinforces the whole loop. Makes you want to do it again.
The feedback loop, hardwiring the habit.
Oh, spot on. It connects directly to that primal reward system. Could be just a mental high five, checking something off a list, tracking your streak, maybe a small non-destructive treat. But that immediate positive reinforcement is vital. It tells your brain, hey, that was good. Let's do it again.
This feels like the secret sauce for actually making habits last. You're basically reprogramming your own reward system. But how do you make the satisfying part not feel like another chore? Does it have to be external?
It can be intrinsic, like just noticing you feel calmer after meditating or stronger after a workout, that counts. Or it can be extrinsic, like that check mark. The key, according to the review's take on CLEAR, is that it's immediate and positive. That direct link is what builds the habit.
Okay, so that's building good habits. Obvious, attractive, easy, satisfying. But what about the flip side? The bad habits we desperately want to ditch. Does this whole framework work in reverse? Can we use it to, dismantle the stuff we don't want to do?
Great question. And yes, absolutely. The review points out the framework is brilliantly symmetrical. To break a bad habit, you just invert the laws.
Invert them. Okay, how?
So instead of make it obvious,
Yeah.
you make it invisible. Hide the cues. If you waste time on social media, delete the apps, maybe leave your phone in another room during work hours.
Get it out of sight, out of mind.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Instead of make it attractive, you make it unattractive. Reframe it. Focus on the negative long-term costs associated with something unpleasant in your mind.
Okay.
Instead of make it easy, you make it difficult. Add friction. Want to cut down on junk food? Don't keep it in the house. Store snacks somewhere hard to reach. Make it a hassle.
Increase the effort required.
Right. And finally, instead of make it satisfying, you make it unsatisfying. Introduce a small, immediate consequence or penalty. Even just tracking it, noting down every time you slip up can make it less appealing by increasing awareness.
Wow, okay. That's a really complete toolkit for building and breaking. That's powerful. But you mentioned make it easy. Something the review really highlighted, and I think it's genius, is the 2-minute rule.
Yeah.
It seems so simple, but maybe profound. It feels like the ultimate hack for just getting started. Can you unpack that a bit more?
Oh, absolutely. The 2-minute rule is brilliant because it directly tackles that initiation friction we talked about. Our brains, especially the planning part, can get overwhelmed by big goals. So the rule says, whatever new habit you want to start, scale it down. Scale it way down to something that takes less than 2 minutes.
Less than 2 minutes. Like what?
Like the example from the review, goal isn't exercise more. The 2-minute version is put on your workout shoes.
Just put on the shoes. That's it.
That's the start. It's not the whole workout, obviously. It's the gateway. By making that first step ridiculously small and easy, you kind of trick your brain. You bypass the resistance that stops you before you even begin. And once the shoes are on, you're already in motion. Your brain longs a tiny win.
And the next step feels less daunting.
Exactly. Maybe you just walk out the door. Maybe you do one stretch. It leverages momentum. Starting is everything.
That's a great reframe. But let's be real, sometimes even putting on the shoes feels like climbing a mountain. Does the book or the review talk about those deeper blocks, or is it all practical hacks?
It does touch on it indirectly. By focusing on these tiny wins, the 2-minute rule builds self-efficacy. It builds confidence. For someone facing that deeper resistance, each time you just put the shoes on, it's evidence. Evidence that you can start. It slowly chips away at those blocks. It starts to shift your self-perception, making you ready for the next tiny step.
Right, that connects perfectly. Because the other really big, maybe the most transformative idea from the review was about identity, how your habits shape your identity. This feels like the real endgame, doesn't it? Going beyond just doing things to actually becoming someone.
It really is profound. It gets to the core motivation. The review highlights how we often set outcome-based goals. I want to read X books. I want to lose Y pounds. Mm. But the shift that makes habits truly stick is moving to identity-based goals. You focus on who you want to become.
Okay, so give me the before and after on that.
Instead of, I want to read more, it's, I am a reader. Instead of, I want to run a marathon, it's, I am a runner. Instead of, I want to lose weight, maybe it's, I am a healthy person.
Hmm.
See the shift. When the habit becomes part of who you are, not just something you do.
Consistency follows more naturally.
Exactly. If you identify as a reader, picking up a book isn't a chore you force yourself through. It's just what readers do. It aligns with your self-image.
It reminds me of people who say, I'm trying to quit smoking versus I'm not a smoker.
Well,
the identity shift seems key.
Precisely. That internal change provides a much stronger foundation. You're not just performing actions. You're living in alignment with your chosen identity. It makes the habit intrinsically motivated.
Okay, so wrapping this up, what does this all mean for you listening right now? Maybe you're grappling with productivity or fitness or learning something new or just generally want to improve things. These ideas seem like they apply across the board, right? A roadmap for almost any area where you want to see change.
Absolutely. That's the power highlighted in the review. It's not complicated theory. It's simple, actionable strategies, real tools. They're accessible to anyone looking to make meaningful, lasting improvements. It cuts through the noise, simplifies the process. It gives you a clear, human-centered way to build the life you want, one tiny step, one small habit at a time.
What a fantastic deep dive. We've covered some serious ground. The surprising power of compounding small changes, those four laws as a clear guide, the genius 2-minute rule for starting, and maybe most importantly, linking habits to identity. The review gave Atomic Habits a solid 5 out of 5, and honestly, after digging into these core ideas, you can totally see why. It takes complex ideas and makes them incredibly usable for your daily life.
Definitely. And maybe, as a final thought to leave you with, something drawn from the review's conclusion. Remember, big changes come from small habits. Huh? So the challenge for you is, what's one tiny, almost invisible habit you could start today? Something small but consistent that aligns with the person you aspire to be. Just think about how that one tiny action, if you stick with it, could start to reshape your daily experience and ultimately who you become.